All right, let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis 20. Genesis 20. And we are going to do a topical message tonight on the topic of integrity. Integrity. And we'll start off in Genesis 20. And when studying a topic in the Bible, we try to define it, of course, and then we'll just look at it through the Word of God and let the Scriptures kind of also develop how it is used. We're going to look at what it means to have integrity, and we'll see that through a couple different ones. Old Testament, we'll look at the Psalms. Psalms speaks a lot about it, but we'll look at a few things here tonight in reference to integrity. You've turned over to Genesis 20. The word actually means, the word integrity means like a wholeness, an entireness, an unbroken state. The word integrity is used for more than just in reference to an individual. It can be in reference to a material item if it is whole, if you will. And the integrity, you know, of the house is sound. It's solid. It's in good function. And so that's kind of, that word is used in that way as well. And it says also in the definition, purity, genuine, unadulterated, unimpaired state, honesty, uprightness, incorruptness. And there's a couple different thoughts to it, but we'll let the Scriptures define it. But just kind of keep in mind that thought of being complete, being whole, in reference to integrity. Genesis chapter 20, verse number 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned to Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. I love this portion of Scripture. It's amazing. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's blessing today. God, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach this night. God, I pray that you would bless richly, Lord, the word as it comes forth. And I pray that it would help us on this topic of integrity. Help us, Lord, with it to really even challenge in our own heart and mind what maybe we thought it was or where we're at with this in our own lives, Lord. And if we're a people of integrity, praise the Lord, I pray that you would give us assurance there and help us to be maybe a little refined in that area. Lord, if we find through the message that we are failing in this, I pray that through the message tonight that we'll be able to be helped to be restored to a place of integrity. Help us, Lord, now with this message. We'll thank you, God, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we have, of course, with Abraham down into area south there, pushing up onto Egypt, and we find Abimelech. He, of course, they would have multiple wives and different things. And it was kind of in reference to the kings and all that, there was a lot of heaping unto yourselves wives. It was a political thing. It wasn't right necessarily, but it was just something that was recognized as done. And God didn't rebuke him on that, and it was for something else. But what I find interesting in this passage, just focusing on the actual point, looking at integrity here, that Abimelech, he wasn't trying to do something wrong here, and he notes that, right? So let me ask you this real quick. In reference to this text, what does integrity mean? It was mentioned twice, and first it was by Abimelech and said, in the integrity, verse 5, in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And he took Sarah under her his and would have ultimately made her a wife. And then God said, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. Which is amazing. It's fabulous. Honesty.
He was operating with the information he had.
He was operating. So in honesty there, I mean, that's an interesting.
On his part.
On his part, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did not have a guilty conscience over it. That's good. That's good. So did you say the truth?
Well, just the information.
Okay. He was operating with what he believed to be correct. Right? Yeah. And so we kind of see that. Now, there's a difference between righteousness and integrity and uprightness. We'll even see a passage that also that talks, I think this one, yeah, this one, I don't think it's used the word. There are other passages that will connect the word, will be like integrity and uprightness. So integrity is not necessarily being upright or righteous, but just like y'all just mentioned, integrity means that in the New Testament it says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, right? And so again, just that conscience side, right, that's there. So integrity is operating in a manner that you believe is right, that you believe to be correct. It's operating in that environment, all right? And so for Abimelech, it meant that his actions were right as far as he knew what right was. And it did not mean to take a man's a wife or to gain her through deceit and all that. He knew that would be wrong. He knew even in his own culture that to take a man's wife would be incorrect. That's good for our culture to understand, amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so he knew I can't take a man's wife. And he wasn't trying to force anything. He wasn't trying to take her as in like over spoil over whatever Abraham. And so in his own heart and his own mind, as he went forth, asked who she was, it was okay to go down that path. And so he was at least operating in integrity as far as that is concerned. Does that make sense? And what's interesting about integrity, it is very, it depends on what you believe right is. It really does. And so we'll see that throughout the scriptures. That's why it's not just integrity that we're looking for. We want integrity, but we want our heart also to know what's right. And we'll see what happens. And even here, when Abimelech made this choice and then other information came in which showed that his choice was wrong, what was he quickly willing to do? Make it right. Okay. So when we operate with integrity, it doesn't mean that we think we're necessarily right. It means that we're operating with that clear conscience. But if new information comes in and shows that what we really did was wrong, then we quickly make that right. Does that make sense? And that's what we see happened here with Abimelech. Look over at 1 Kings 9. 1 Kings 9. 1 Kings 9. Integrity here means to operate with a clear conscience and when called out by God or another and it's determined that what we did was wrong, then we quickly make it right. So that is integrity as far as Genesis 20 mentions it. 1 Kings 9 and in verse number 1, it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desires, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hadst made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in the integrity of his heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if
ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name. Will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among my people. And at this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss. And they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought them forth from their father, forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods and have worshipped them and served them before. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. So you're going to find with Israel that it was a big deal to God that they would have no other gods before them, that God would be their God, and that they would not seek other gods. They would not become idolatrous. That was huge in reference to God and Israel. And we see this here. The commandments absolutely become it's really a badge or a mark upon them that they are my people. So in this text where Solomon is seeking the Lord and the dedication of his house there, the temple, he notes here in verse number 4, it says, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart. And we would say David was a very principled man. Now we know there's issue there with Bathsheba and different things like that, but for the most part, we look at the life of David, he's a very principled man. And what I mean by principled is that he would talk to people like even those would come in, run in and say, you know, I just slayed your enemy. And they'd be like, you did what? You killed who? And then you came and told me about it? And then he was so principled to where even as a younger man, God would say through the prophet that you're going to be king. And he would not lift up his own hand against the Lord's anointed and would say, basically, if God is going to take out Saul, we're going to let God do it, right? And would not lift up his hand. Multiple opportunities, he would not do it. He was a very principled man in reference to those things. And throughout him being king, and we see he was a man after God's own heart, as it says in the Word of God. And so he lived by that principle. And that is, that's integrity. He knew what God said, and he just stuck with it. He stuck with what he knew was right. And so God here says to Solomon, if you'll walk that way, if you'll walk in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do all that I've commanded, he says, then I'm going to reward you for that. I'm going to reward you, and your nation will be rewarded. He says, but if you or your children turn from this and you go and serve other gods and worship them, he says, I will cut you off out of the land. That is principle. Amen. That's good. That's good preaching to us as parents. As we say to our kids, you know, if you're going to do right and you're going to live by the rules and you're going to do well in my house, perfect. But if you want to turn and you want to try to live by somebody else's rules and you want to act like that other parent is a better parent than me and all these, if that's what you want to do, fine. But guess what? I'm cutting you off. That's a very biblical example here of what God said to Israel. Does that make sense? I'll do whatever I can for you as long as you don't turn against me. And the ways you turn against me is this. Does that make sense? And that's kind of what God did there. And so God was leading Solomon to understand that if you live with integrity and heart and be whole and complete as a nation, as you serve me, he says, it's going to be great for you. But if you turn from that and you no longer operate with integrity and heart, people are going to look at this place and be like, hiss, and say, what happened here? This place is like raised. This place has been destroyed. What happened? A bunch of people started off with integrity and they left it off and they just started worshiping other gods. And God told them, you do that, I'm done. And that's exactly what happened, right? And so integrity is living complete in heart in reference towards God. This, if I'm going to have integrity towards God, It is him and him alone being my God. If you're a husband, integrity towards your wife, her and her alone, right? Wife towards a husband, same thing. And so even today in reference to modern day, you know, Christianity, we serve God and him alone. And God's not humored by us jumping into humanism and jumping into Confucianism and jumping into Mormonism and jumping into all kinds of other isms, right? No, we're going to stick to the God of this book. Amen? And when our government or any other popular entity says, you need to say this is okay now, we're going to look to God and say, God, what do you say? Oh, I'm sticking with God, right? That is integrity of towards God, right? I'm sided with him. I am on his side. Let God be true, every man a liar. Amen? God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? But if I turn from God, then I'm in jeopardy. Amen? So with integrity of heart, I'm sold out to God and God alone. Does that make sense? And so that's what we see here, just like with Sunday school. Just for expediency to save my own neck, I am not letting go of this book or letting go of my God. Amen? Does that make sense? That's what integrity is. And that was the issue with the Donatists, right? They're looking at these other men and say, you're not men of integrity. When times got tough, you let them burn your Bibles, right? And they said, that is not integrity, right? That's God's book. And we've been entrusted with it. So that's what we see here in reference to integrity and Solomon. So integrity in this case means to wholly follow God and no others. Look over at Job. Job chapter 2. He is another one that that God actually said that he was a man of integrity. This is a really, really good just mention of the word integrity. We're looking at the word integrity. And I hope that you're kind of just evaluating your life, where you're at on this. I mean, if you work a job and you're around a lot of people that aren't Christian, I get it. I've been in that environment, and sometimes it's difficult, right, to work in that environment, have to listen to what you listen to and all that. But here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to become like everybody else when you're at work and act like you're one of them. And then when you're around God's people, you change, and now I'm one of them, right? That's not integrity. That's not having integrity. That's not glorifying to God at all. It doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, around these other people, that you have to be in what they would call holier than thou. You don't got to shove it down their throat. But we don't deny God in appearance, in speech, in what we listen to as far as jokes are concerned, or music is concerned, or what we go along with and what we participate in. Why don't we do that? Integrity. My God deserves better than that. Amen? From me, I believe him. I trust him. I know what he's done for me. I am not going to sell him out so that I'm accepted by some sinner. Amen? That's integrity. Not even if it means it's harder on me. Amen? I just want to do right. Amen? And so these are important things. Job chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now, this is chapter 2. And so in chapter 1, we know a similar conversation took place, and God gave some allowance there he lifted some of the protection there. And the devil would go, and he would basically destroy his buildings and livestock and his children. They were all taken. It was a horrible, horrible set of circumstances. And yet through it all, Job retained his integrity, meaning he did not curse God. He did not blame God. He did not lose what was already wrought in his heart. He was hurting, It was a difficult time, but he maintained integrity with God. And it said, verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. He said, yes, so far you've not let me touch him. You've not let me take his health. You've not let me cause him to experience pain and infirmity. And so as it is right now, you know what? If that happened, he'd lose that integrity. That's what he's saying. And so we find this, that that God knew that Job was a man of integrity. And God allowed this to take place for a lot of reasons. But I think one of the main reasons that God allowed this to happen, all that, was so that you and I, as we read the scriptures these years later, looking back, we can see a man like Job go through things that were over the top in reference to all that a man would go through all at once. I mean, we can go through some hard times, but I've not had an experience in succession to this degree, right? And so this is here. It's not really there to help the devil. It wasn't. It wasn't, I mean, in a sense, it was flying in the face of him to say, hey, look, there's a guy right there that held his integrity, unlike you, Satan, when you were in heaven and fell. So I think the main point of this is for you and I to see that if Job can maintain his integrity through these circumstances, then you and I also can maintain our integrity with what we go through, right? And so verse number 6 goes on. It says, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Whew. This is a double whammy here in this text. Not only did Job's health turn, and he experienced just very much pain through these boils and just the infirmity that was given him. But then the one person, the closest person to him left on earth, she also turned on him, and she lost it. She lost her integrity here. She lost it. She'd already been through so much with the children dying, everything else. It seems like all is lost, and they've lost absolutely everything. And now her husband now, it looks like he's going to be gone. He's infirmed now and all that. And he stays strong through it all. But she's had enough. And she looks at her husband and says, what? Even through this, you still retain your integrity? You just need to curse God and die. Well, thanks for the help, honey. Appreciate the encouragement. But you know what? Satan knows how to get at us husbands, doesn't he? We can handle the health thing a whole lot better than we can handle the wife. Speaking like a foolish woman. Amen? Most of us guys would rather have some disease, whatever, than to have our wives speak ill to us or not support and all that. It's just the way it is. That is the Achilles heel of a guy, is the wife. Y'all ladies might not understand that. I don't expect you to. But truly, that's the kryptonite of the man right there. Mm-hmm. How the wife views her husband, how she speaks to her husband, how she is to her. That is it. That is absolutely it. And that was the final thing. That was the final attempt, the crowning attempt for the devil to get Job to lose his integrity. It's pretty amazing. Amen? And so, Job definitely is an example of what it means to maintain. And say here, what does it mean? He would not speak against God when things were going bad. He would not blame God. So, If when things go bad in your life, if you blame God or speak ill against God, you've lost your integrity. Because we all know this, even in this case, it's not God's fault. You say, yeah, but God allowed it. True, but God is not the cause of it, right? And we know that through it all, there was a reason behind it. If you read the whole book of Job, it was amazing how it all would then would pan out beyond that. And I think there's more meaning to that than just that circumstance. I think that was there more for even future generations to see. Matter of fact, let me read you. You can flip over to Job 31. Job 31. Later on, Job says something which is kind of interesting. And it actually shows that this is exactly what was happening, but Job didn't even realize it. He says in Job 31:4, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Oh yeah, he already knew it. God already knew his integrity. It already had been weighed. And so before any of this happened, he'd already been weighed. And God found him a man of integrity. And so all of this that he went through wasn't to determine whether or not there was integrity. God allowed the devil to have some freedom there with Job because God already knew he was a man of integrity. That's very interesting. Amen. But again, being a man of integrity, we want to be very careful that we don't let bad situations, things, we don't allow things to move us against God. No matter what's going on in your life, God is not the problem. He is the solution. He is the solution. And if we turn against God, if you turn against God, who else do you have? Who else is there? Who are you going to turn to? You? I ain't putting any stock here. Amen. I'm keeping it there. Amen. The eternal one. The all-knowing one, the all-powerful one, the all-loving one. I'm putting all my eggs in his basket. Amen. Amen. And so, yeah, be careful. Don't let the enemy, just because things aren't going your way or what you think they should be, don't turn against God. If you do, you lose your integrity with him. You lose your integrity with him. Look over at Psalm chapter 7. Go through a few verses here in the book of Psalms, developing the thought of integrity. We just want to be complete with God. We want to have a thorough relationship with him. Amen? Our relationship with God can't be built on the day-to-day experiences that we go through. If your relationship with anyone is based on day-to-day experiences, you know how up and down those relationships are. Amen? But our relationship with God is only solid if it's bigger than that, if it's past that, amen? And that's what integrity is. Job, at one point in the book of Job, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Whew. Job said, even if God takes me out through this whole thing, I'm trusting him to my dying breath. That's integrity, amen? And that's what we see there. So Psalm chapter 7, verse 8 says, "The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me." Now, integrity is about doing right as you know what is right to do. So David here is saying, judge me according to my righteousness. Help me to know what's right and wrong. Because I'm going to live a life of integrity, but if I believe something that's wrong, then I am going to, in a sense, sincerely do that wrong. So he says, judge me, help me to know if I'm right in my life, and then also judge in reference to my integrity, but I'm planning to live by what I know to be right. Amen? And so in integrity, you can be wrong and still maintain integrity. That's why we also need to maintain a righteousness alongside of that integrity. I've known people. There was an experience, actually it was at
at Bible college, and a long time ago over in Greenwood. The president at the time, he made a bad decision, and they had this fundraiser thing, and it was with a group that when people started looking up this group and all that, they had bad testimonies. Matter of fact, the lead singer, I contacted him via email, and I asked for his testimony of salvation. And he said, that's not my department. He wouldn't give a testimony of his salvation and all that, and whatever. And I shared that with the school. And some others were doing some other things. And the president came out at that point and said, I've already decided it. I'm not going against that decision. And so a bunch of us said, well, you know what? We won't be there. And we can't support that, right? And so, again, integrity isn't, I made a bad decision and I'm sticking with it. That's not integrity. Integrity is, I made a decision with everything I had available. I thought it was a good decision, but you know what now? I see how that's not the best decision. I'm fine making a change here. That's integrity is doing right by God and adjusting if new info comes available. Amen? And so judge me. Show me what's right. And as you do, I want to maintain integrity with you. Amen? That's what that verse is saying. Psalm 25, look at verse number 21. Psalm 25 and in verse number 21. I love this. It says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Now that word preserve there means to guard. It's in a sense a preservative keeps out the bad bacteria that would spoil something, right? And so that's what that word means here. So let integrity and uprightness be a preservative in my life, meaning that I am going to live by integrity and uprightness, meaning by what's right. And that becomes a guard to my life. That's why before you get in certain circumstances, you need to determine what's right and wrong for you. Amen? So that you don't find yourself in a spot that now you're vulnerable. Amen? So we study these things out. We seek the Word of God oftentimes before we need it. That's what I love about it. If you're in your Bible every day, then God is giving you what you need in the coming days. He's giving you through your time of devotion and Bible study what you're going to need future, so that when you get there, that uprightness through your integrity of desiring to do right by God will guard you and preserve you. Amen? That's what it's meant for. So be a man or a woman of integrity. Don't go against God. Don't go against His word. You say, yeah, but I really want to right now. Don't do it. Don't do it. Once you go down that route, you're going to have to make it right. You know you will. God won't let you get away with it. So don't allow your conscience to be defiled. Don't allow that guilty conscience to set in, because you know as well as I do, once it takes sometimes weeks or months, sometimes years to get back to where you were. Amen? Understand how precious it is to live with integrity, just knowing I've done right. Listen, if you do wrong and you didn't know it was wrong, you recover from that in a moment, right? I did wrong. I didn't know it was wrong. Abimelech, I didn't know it was wrong. I just found out it's wrong. I am sorry, God. I'm going to make this thing right. I'm back to where I need to be right now. Matter of fact, I never even left where I needed to be. I've maintained my integrity. But when I know it's not right and I violate my conscience anyway, those are the things that are hard to recover from, because now the integrity is broken. And it's not just broken with God, it's broken with others. And once we lose that integrity with others, sure, we can get it back. But it doesn't come back easy. It doesn't come back easy. Look at Psalm 26. Psalm 26. In this psalm, Psalm 26, the first, Psalm 1 through 12, the psalm, we're going to point out here some things in reference to this psalm, Psalm 26. And to start, he says, judge me, O Lord. Now, the word judge here means basically adjudicate. You pass either
an opinion of vindication or an opinion of punishment. God, judge me and do with it as you should. Deal with me with what you see. So judge me, he says here, either punish me or vindicate me. Oh Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. I love that verse. Be okay with God doing in your life whatever's needed. Just judge me, God. I don't know what I need for the future. There may be areas in my life right now that I don't know are wrong that God knows are wrong. There may be things in my life that I need to be prepared for the future. Our future may get very, very crazy. It already is a little bit. I don't know what's coming down the road for you and I. I don't know that I'm ready for it. You don't know if you're ready for it. So God, judge me, and you determine that. You determine where my shortcomings are. You determine what I need help in. You judge me today based on where I'm at. You know the future. Judge me, oh Lord. He says, for I have walked in my integrity. I've trusted the Lord, meaning I'm walking in my integrity today. I'm going to walk in it tomorrow. I'm trusting you today. I'm going to trust you tomorrow. God, you can judge me, and with what you reveal to me, I'm going to still maintain that integrity. So if you judge me and deal with me, I'm going to grow with it. That's what this is saying. If you'll judge me and reveal to me these things, I'm going to maintain integrity and trust, and so I'll grow with that judgment. Look at verse 2. Examine me. Examine means to investigate. Don't just give a superficial judgment here. Examine me. And then he says, oh Lord, and prove me. Prove means to put you under a load, a proof test, if you will. If you know anything about just, you know, validating the strength of things and all that, if a certain thing needs to hold up under a 200-pound load, you want to test it under a 400-pound load. Double it. On an airplane, we even did more than that typically, like with a cable. We would load it down even way more than just a double. Amen? So what you're doing is you're saying the normal load is this, so God, double that load. Add more to it to see if I hold up under it, because I know this. If through the proving I hold up, then I know later on when this comes, I'll definitely hold up. Right? And so David's saying here, he's saying, prove me, examine me, test me, make sure I'm ready for what's ahead. Now, just saying that would be very smart for us to be okay with that. Instead of us getting all crazy because I don't know why my life is falling apart right now. I don't know why this happened and that happened. Well, maybe because he's looked at your life and saw some areas that need shored up. And right now there's nothing going on that was going to, you know, test that or put that under the load. So maybe some things came in so God would help you to see you're not where you need to be for where you need to be tomorrow. You're not where you need to be for what's coming next year. And so God, as David's saying here, he's saying, hey, do this so that I will be ready. Verse number 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Say, what does that mean? I would much rather God put me through the test based on his loving kindness than for me to find myself under a test at the hand of those that don't love me. Does that make sense? And this is what this is saying in this text. He says now at the end of verse 3, he says, and I have walked in thy truth. I have. There's going to be a bunch of I haves and I will. Verse 4 says, I have not. So he's saying, this is my history. I have walked in thy truth. Up in verse 1, I have walked in mine integrity. Verse number 1, I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. All this is going on. He says, this is my history. This is where I've been. This is who I am. Verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons. Say, why is that a problem? Well, if you sit with vain persons, you're not a person of integrity. Vain person is one who's useless, empty, morally ruinous. If you're hanging around those kinds of people, they wear off on you. They are, you could say, I'm there to pull them up. You know as well as I do, there's a way to influence and there's a way to be influenced. Amen? And we do want to be around others that to influence, but they're not our best buddies. Amen? Why? Because we know. So he says this, I've not sat with vain persons. He says, neither will I go in with dissemblers. A dissembler, the word literally means to veil from sight. In other words, a dissembler is one who causes division in the background. Causes problems in the background, working issues for you. And he says this, he says, neither will I go in with them. I am not going to be named with them. I'm not going to be part of them. No, people of integrity are not named with them. Verse 5, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. The word hate there means to count as an enemy. The congregation of evildoers, those that want to do evil, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. And they're enemies of God's people. They only want to hurt you and get you away from your integrity. They only want to cause flaws in you so that they can justify their own ungodly positions. So be careful with the congregation of evildoers. And it's okay. You need to have a proper hatred there for them. At least count them as an enemy. I will not sit with the wicked, the morally wrong, the ungodly. I'm not going to be named with them. I'm not going to sit with them. I'm not going to be comfortable there. He says in verse number 6, I will wash my hands in innocency, meaning I'm going to have a clean heart. I'm going to have a clear heart. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. I'm going to be frequenting your altar. I'm hanging out around that place where I can commune with you. Verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. He said, in all of that, he says, this is necessary to have a pure heart. This is necessary to maintain integrity. He's saying, I cannot maintain integrity if I allow myself to be around certain people, around certain things, or not doing certain things, or doing certain things. He says, there's this list that I've maintained in my life so that I can maintain a clean heart, a pure heart, so that I can publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And you know as well as I do, if we lose our integrity and we become guilty before God in conscience, you know how hard it is to talk of God and witness to people and speak of anything in reference to the goodness of God. You know how hard it is. We must maintain integrity. We must maintain a clear conscience. That's what's being stated here in this text. He says in verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Do you love the habitation, opportunity to dwell in the secret place with the Most High? Opportunity to be close to God, right with God, commune with God in prayer and in study, and then just in and through who you are, that communion. Can anything replace that closeness there with the Lord? I've loved that. I love the habitation of God's house. I love the place where we all congregate together and we speak of right things and we encourage one another and engage like this in preaching. I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Let us make sure this place that we meet stays an honorable place. Amen? And that our lives maintain honor. Not just solely by us, but because we've sided with God and we're just an integral part with God and we are people of integrity with Him, meaning we're whole with Him. Amen? Very important. Verse number 9. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. Verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful place to maintain. Amen. Be careful. Do not let your integrity slide. Look at Psalm 41. Just a couple others here. Verse 12.
Psalm 41, verse 12. As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. God will uphold you and protect you if you are a person of integrity. Not constantly giving in to the pressures all around us. I know there's pressures around us, but our wholeness with God is at stake. And that relationship should not be up for, up for discussion or up for a degradation there. That relationship that we have with God, we should not easily sell that out. We should not easily lay that aside. We should not for anyone, for anything, for any happening. That integrity with God, that soundness in our relationship with Him is a precious thing. We are invited to be one with the God of creation, one with the eternal Father, one with the Almighty God. We are invited to be one with Him in thought and in mind and in guidance. We shouldn't let anything or anyone affect that. That's what it means to be a person of integrity. Proverbs 11, verse number 3. Proverbs 11, verse number 3. A couple last verses here in the book of Proverbs and the time that we have left. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. If you find someone that's constantly being destroyed by just life, it's probably because they're transgressing what they know is right. And they're twisting it to say it's okay. That's the day we live. Everybody is doing wrong, but they twist it to say, oh, it's good. It's good. But in heart, you know it's not. And it ends up destroying you. And you wonder what's wrong. You need to be a person of integrity. And that's what that pastor said. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. It will protect you. It will help you. It'll keep you where you need to be and on the path you need to be on. Proverbs 11, verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. We are so prone to falling. We are so prone to the wrong decision. We are so prone to having everything messed up. So we need something to keep us on track. What's that going to be? Our integrity. Our integrity with God. Knowing what's right and sticking to it, whether we want to or not. There's even a little kid song about it. About doing right, right? We're just going to do right. Till the stars fall, do right, all this stuff. Man, if stars are falling, amen, that's crazy. Anyway, we just want to do right. Well, that's how you maintain integrity. Right now, I have all these emotions going on in me and all these things pulling me in a million directions. But you know what? I'm hanging on to this. I'm hanging on to God. That's integrity. That's integrity. Verse number 6 says, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. But transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. The righteousness of the upright. The doing right. If you'll just side with that with integrity, it will deliver you. It'll deliver you from all kinds of problems that you would have otherwise found yourself in. But transgressors, those willing to go against God, those willing to go against the word of God for whatever reason, shall be taken in their own naughtiness, meaning that they will utterly fall and be destroyed. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Listen, if walking in your integrity means that you become poor through the process, that's better. Amen? Than becoming perverse in your own mind to get ahead. Amen? No. Do right and take the loss. Amen?
And that's what that's saying. Proverbs 20, verse 7, lastly. The just man walketh in his integrity. I love this. His children are blessed after him. If you will walk in your integrity, then your posterity, those in your family, others that are looking to you, they will be blessed just simply by your integrity. That name, that good name is rather to be chosen, right? Than great riches and all that. That good name is important. And if you're known as a person of integrity, not that person just does what he wants to, he's so hard-headed. No. That person just follows God. The last time we were at a door, it's been a couple weeks back, Mike and I, he hated the fact, we just kept going back to the Word of God. Is that all you do is quote that book?
Amen.
That's pretty much it. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. Amen. My opinion means nothing. But God's Word means everything. Right? That's integrity. I'm just going to walk by it. I'm going to live by it. I'm going to follow God. And if I follow God off a cliff, I follow God off a cliff. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just following him. And if that happens, I know he's going to catch me before I hit the bottom. That's what Abraham said about his son Isaac. I can raise this knife, and I know this. If through the process God has me kill my son, he's going to resurrect him. I know it because that's a promised child right there. You see, trusting God even when it doesn't seem to make sense, that's integrity. I'm trusting his word. I'm going to do what I know is right to do. With all that is in mind, and we're at a quarter after now, so perfect timing, amen. With all that in mind, what does it mean to have integrity? Anybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Just wholly trusting in the Word of God.
Being complete in Him, yeah, just trusting in Him. And walking by
it. We have a thousand things that goes on in our day that we don't understand the end thereof. The only thing you have to trust in is God's word. Take that next step, not knowing if there's ground there or not.
Right, right. That's good stuff. Yes, Kata. Just do right, and second guessing yourself, that's a problem, right? And going back and saying, man, I wish I would have made a different decision here. Usually, we've learned new things now, and I made the decision then with all that I had available to me. And so 3 weeks later, looking back and saying, man, I should have made a different decision. You're a different person now 3 weeks later because you've gained in knowledge and perspective. To say that I should have made a different decision, you can't do that to yourself. I made that decision in integrity then. I'm sticking with it. But if I need to make an adjustment, I'm fine. But I'm not going to go back and second guess myself. That's good. Yeah. But if it is a foolish decision, we want to learn from it. Right? Yeah, only make it once. That's good. I made that. That was a bad one. That's on me. Right? But I've learned from it. God's helped me with it. And it was worth the price. It was worth it. Amen. Cost me a little bit, but it was worth it. Integrity. Walking with God, doing right by God, when everything else around us is screaming to do something different. No, I'm sticking with God. Period. I'm going to do what I know is right. And if I find later I was wrong in it, God's adjusted my thinking, then I'll adjust and I'll do right by that next time. Amen. But that's integrity. So good stuff. Hope you learned something tonight. It's been fun for me going through this. And I want to try to keep this in mind. And I hope that it helps fortify me in this area of I want to be that person of integrity. God blesses that person. He helps that person. He guides that person. You're preserved. You're protected. I'm kept from certain things that I would have otherwise fallen into. Amen. I can't trust me, but I can surely trust God. I want to be a person of integrity towards God. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what you've given. Help us, Lord, this week as we consider this message into our week. We might be challenged this week with some things from others trying to move us away from what we know is right. God, help us to remember this message and to go back to these verses and to not be moved away from our relationship with you, our soundness in that relationship, our trust in you. And Lord, if we need to make some adjustments in what we know is right, God, we're open to that. So help us with that. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for this night. We just give you the glory for this day. It's been a good day. And we praise your name for what you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.